that Terry read is the passage I want to concentrate on. And it only speaks a little bit about goodness, but it has a lot to do with what goodness does. Goodness it shines. Goodness is like a light. It shines. And goodness is a fruit of the Spirit that's not easy to define. The reason is because it means the state of being good. And the word good, if you look it up in the dictionary, I haven't taken all of the words that stand for good, but let me just read a few of them, okay? The state of being good, and here's what good says in the dictionary. Positive, desirable, purposeful, in excellent condition, sound, of high quality, worthy of respect, honorable, attractive, beneficial, healthy, competent, complete, thorough, reliable, sure, valid, true, genuine, real, operative, able to continue, able to contribute, bountiful, pleasant, enjoyable, favorable, morally excellent, upright, benevolent, kind, loyal, staunch, well-behaved, obedient, socially correct, proper, falling within the mark. Woo! Goodness, what a list. Yeah, and that's also used as an explanation, you know, goodness sake and so on. Well, goodness is related to God. In fact, in the English language, the word good from the Anglo-Saxon word God, and both God and good were in the same word in the Anglo-Saxon language. Well, nevertheless, if we want to know about goodness, it starts in the very, very, very beginning when God created the world. And in there, we see the relationship between God and between good. God is good. You've seen that song, God is good. Well, there's a relationship between God and goodness. And we see that relationship in what he produced originally in the garden. Well, in the 6 days of creation, every single day that he had made something came out of his mind into reality, and it was true reality, and when he saw that he had done it, he said, and he saw that it was good. And that was the definition. If you want to take that list of things I just went through, it would describe, in one way or another, every aspect of creation. You think about it. Just take one at a time and look through the whole list. And then you think about creation. And somewhere in creation, it'll hit that. And it'll describe that. Because that's what God did when he made the earth. He made it good. Okay. And then when he had created us, he said, very good. Very good. Now, Satan got our ancestors to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, before that time, Adam and Eve had relied upon God alone for their knowledge of good and evil. That knowledge was just from God, their walk with God. Well, when they took that knowledge into themselves, independent from God, something happened. Something happened that twisted the idea of goodness. And that twist has multiplied in our world. When humans took in the ability independent of God to decide what was good and evil, then they could invent their own rules, you see. And they could create their own morality. And because of that, this world has been plunged into moral darkness. And that's what we're going to talk about a lot today, about the darkness, because the only way back from the fruit of darkness is the fruit of light. And that's what this passage talks about. And the more that Christians grow in goodness, the more they shine in the dark. The more that Christians grow in the fruit of goodness of the Holy Spirit, the more they shine in a dark world, and a world that is sort of mixed up about what is right and wrong, because it's independent. The knowledge of good and evil is independent from the Lord. Well, Satan, his method was to use deceptive words. or to deceive humanity with empty words. And that's what this passage warns us against. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Satan set himself up, or he offered himself as an alternative authority. God was the only authority that Adam and Eve ever needed. But Satan came along and set himself up as another authority. And he said, he wanted to deceive, and he started by causing doubt. Doubt about God's word. He said to the woman, did God really say? Did God really say what you said he said? And that raised a doubt. Did God really say that you must not eat from the trees of the garden, from any tree of the garden? You know, he already twisted what God had said. And you know something? Biblical scholars have sometimes fallen into the hands of Satan as pawns to do his work of deception. And they have raised doubt about the word of God so that people won't necessarily trust the word of God. They raise up. These words couldn't have been said by Jesus. No. They couldn't have been said by Jesus. I know you've probably heard stuff like that. And when you have heard it, if you really received it, you would begin to doubt. Well, maybe I shouldn't trust this word. Well, the word of God is forever settled in heaven. God decided how what should be there. It's there for us. It's been here down through the ages. And scoffers and doubters have come and gone, and the word has stood still, or still stands, and it has still been effective in everyone's life who believes it. Well, Satan also contradicted God's word. He said, you will not surely die. You will not surely die. Well, God said, if you ate that fruit, you're going to die. Oh, no, you'll not surely die. And then he's contradicting God's word. And each generation has people that rise up and they contradict the validity of the Bible. And they say, oh, you know, nobody's going to go to hell. Everybody's going to go to heaven. There's no such thing as a sinner. Well, that totally contradicts what the Bible says. And we have to come back and say, well, wait a minute. Which authority am I going to believe? You see, God, who is good, who brought forth a whole world of goodness, wants us to follow him and be in connection with him. And he will show us what is good and what is evil. But Satan wants us to have a knowledge of good and evil within ourselves. And, oh, I can decide what's good and I can decide what's bad. And you know what happens when that happens? All over the world, people have different moralities. And they come and go with each generation. Well, the third thing that he did was to malign God's character. For God knows that when you eat of it, this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That promise is almost identical to the promise that everybody had when they were saying, oh, LSD, you need to take this stuff, man. This LSD will open your eye. You're going to see the world in a new way. Now, it could be a good trip, or it could be a bad trip. And I don't know if you've ever known anybody that's taken LSD that's had a bad trip. They saw bright stars and all this beautiful stuff, and all of a sudden they saw evil, ugly things, and they had what they call a bad trip. But when it was all over, it was empty of reality. It had, oh, it was so beautiful, though. There was nothing of reality in it. It was only a perception. It was a lie. So LSD is very similar to what Satan was saying to Eve. You do this, and your eyes will be open. And you know, they were open. And he also was saying, you know, God had arranged reality so that it would be beautiful. So there would be something that was great and fantastic and very good. Well, Satan was maligning God's character and said, oh, no. He's holding something back that's good.
He's holding something back. This is good, and he's holding it back from you. He doesn't want you to take it. He must have something up his sleeve. And Satan, in doing that, maligned God's character. And then this fruit that Eve took, Satan was getting Eve to see something in it that she already had. You know, Satan cannot produce anything good, and Satan cannot produce anything real. Only God can. God makes real things. Satan makes lies. But Satan can take God's real things and twist them and make them into something that is destructive. Well, Satan offers substitutes for goodness that God has already provided. And look at Eve, and when she looked at the tree, Eve was led into seeing the fruit as good for food. That's what it says in the Genesis. She saw that it was good for food. Why? She had a whole garden full of good food already. And so God had already provided one.